Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast by the DG Institute. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher, and this podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. So if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as the vehicle to create wealth, and more importantly, what that wealth represents, financial freedom, you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In today's episode, I want to talk about the elephant in the room, and that is the media talking about rising rates, high inflation, uncertainty, global recessions. We know what's happening in Ukraine, and it's feeding through into our psyche. We had the Reserve Bank raise interest rates earlier this month for the first time in 11 years. So that was a big deal, albeit it was a 0.25% interest rate rise, which is fairly normal. It was more than many economists expected. They didn't expect rates to rise to 0.35%. So that is the official interest rate right now, and the banks all immediately passed that on. So that created a whole lot of panic, and there's fear-mongering of blood in the streets and a lot of debt, and people won't be able to afford their home loans. And the next news was that property prices are predicted to drop 25%. Let's just pare that back a little bit and analyze what's really happening and what it means. For many of us out there, this is the first time a market has gone backwards or interest rates have risen. So anyone who hasn't been in a market for the last 11 years, you're not familiar with a rising rate cycle. Having said that, I've lived through several investment cycles, yes, including the early 90s when interest rates were up around, I was paying 20% on some loans. So it can be a scary time. I've seen the worst days and we've seen the best days, and we've had a long time of the best days. So we always knew interest rates would start to rise again. Whatever goes down eventually comes up, and vice versa. We also knew that there was a lot of debt. The reason that there was so much debt was because of the cost of money. That's what interest rates are. Interest rates are the price of money. They're the cost of borrowing, and they're the reward for saving. So if interest rates are really low, it means savers aren't rewarded. You get nothing in a term deposit, and borrowers get really cheap money. So what the market does is it adjusts to that. And what we saw was property prices go through the roof because of low rates. What low rates meant was that people hoarding their money, savers, weren't getting yield. So there was no point putting it in a term deposit. They had to go out and spend it. Where do you spend it? Well, real estate is a really attractive option. Most people are comfortable with bricks and mortar. We have tax breaks in place, like negative gearing, to buy investment property. And it doesn't seem as risky as the share market, where you're not in control and you don't know what's happening with a company, and some CEO or directors are deciding that. You know, when you own your own property, it's bricks and mortar, it's a piece of land, and you have control. So it's an attractive investment class for many people because it's known. People live in houses, and whether they're renting it or owning it, they get property and residential real estate. So we all flooded to one side of the boat, didn't we? And the boat started to tip over. We all bought into residential real estate and prices went up and debt went up as a result. So think of it. Back in 2008-09, which was the last time where our property prices went down a little bit, what we saw then was that interest rates, as a result of the GFC, started to come down really, really quickly. Like, they were dropping rates 1% at every Reserve Bank meeting. But what also happened back in the GFC, let's just say 2008, before the GFC hit, interest rates were on a normal loan, you're paying about 7 or 8%. That's what you were paying the bank. Fast forward to now, and we have people paying 2%. So if you were paying 8% for, say, $1 million of debt in 2008, can you see how the rate repayments, the interest repayments, would be the same on $4 million worth of debt in 2022 at a rate of 2%? The interest rate is a quarter, so that means that the debt can quadruple, and that's what's happened. We could afford to pay higher prices because the repayments were less because the rates were lower. So if you throw into the mix rates rising and a lot of people hocked up to their eyeballs in debt, what does that mean? A lot of economists are saying it means that prices will slump. People will just hit the wall and sell their properties, and the market will just fall by 25% or more. They all said that in the global financial crisis, and it dipped a little bit. They said it again in 2013, the market slowed a little bit, and yeah, prices went backwards by about 1 or 2%. And they said it again in 2017-18, where it dipped slightly again as well, because there was a federal election, there was an uncertainty in 2019 about what was happening with negative gearing, and because they put a limit on how you could borrow. So they called it a speed hump, but what happened was the Australian Prudential Regulation Authority, APRA, said that banks couldn't lend to investors anymore. So some banks just cut off loans to investors in 2017, and that caused a dip in the market that lasted through to the federal election, and then the market took off again after that. So we've had a bit of a history, at least in this century, of prices dipping and then coming back again. The question is, do you wait? And what could that look like? Every single time they said there was going to be blood in the streets, prices did come backwards, but not anywhere near by the amount they've accelerated. So we've seen 20, 30% growth in some areas in the last 12 months or so. Compare that to the dips in the market, which were never, ever any greater, even at the most catastrophic times, than about 6 or 7%. So if you're waiting on a dip or a magical, you know, rewind where you can get back in at 2000 prices or, you know, late 1990s prices, that's just not going to happen. We're not going to see, I believe, the market fall by a massive double-digit amount. It does mean, though, that if you've been waiting on the sidelines and you keep getting pipped at the post, it is turning into a buyer's market. Sellers will be more realistic. People are just more fearful at the moment because of the uncertainty, because of inflation, and because things are getting harder. Now, the Reserve Bank probably won't just raise interest rates really quickly, holus bolus. Reason for that is that property prices have gone up massively. Debt has gone up massively. A lot of people in a lot of debt. Wages have not grown very much. There's a big gap between where wages are sitting and where interest rates could go and where property prices are sitting. And that could cause a major recession. So they'll be very careful about what they do. If you've been waiting to get into the market, you're going to start seeing some really good bargains out there because sellers are very motivated. Warren Buffett once said, "You pay a high price for a cheery consensus." What he meant by that, and what he famously said at another stage, was, "I buy when others are fearful." So he said the secret to success is to be fearful when others are greedy. Don't buy the ups and the peaks in the market, but to be greedy when others are fearful. So when everyone else is saying, "I'll just sit on the sidelines, I can't buy property, everything's going to hell in a handbasket," that's when the smart money gets in. When others are fearful, it's time to get greedy. If you're going to wait for everyone to say, "No, property's good, the property market's great, everyone's buying property," if you're waiting for the media to say how good property is, that is a cheery consensus. You're waiting for everyone else to agree, and that's when demand is going to push prices up. So you don't just go at it willy-nilly. It's not pin the tail on the donkey, but with science support and the right systems, you can strategically and very, very carefully with laser focus find the right property for the right price on the right terms right now. So it's a matter, it's not easy, but it is simple. It's a matter of doing the work, knowing your stuff, having the right people around you, and looking at everything that's out there under a microscope. That is the secret to success in this market. Strategy doesn't really matter. Whether you're buy and hold or flipping or developing or renovating or whatever it is, all of that's icing on the cake. You've got to get the foundation right first. And that is making your money when you buy, buying under market in any market, in rising rates, in falling rates, always buy below market. Never pay retail. If you're interested in buying an under market valued property in this perfect storm of a market, then leave a comment in the notes, because it is eminently possible with the right science, support, and systems to acquire, have your foot on, even move into an under market valued property within 90 days or less. It's just a matter of taking action. So leave a comment and see what's possible for you. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia. And just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.